you know the story of the businessman who decided that it was time to make a drastic change and start looking after his health? He took his diet very seriously. He exercised, he drank water, he cut out unhealthy calories, and he even avoided certain favorite places where he knew he might succumb to temptation. But then one morning, he arrived at the office with a massive slice of decadent chocolate caramel cake. And his co-workers reprimanded him in solidarity for what he had been achieving. No, no, don't. And the businessman simply said, "Don't worry. I was meant to have this cake. I prayed that if this cake was meant for me, there would be a parking space available right in front of the bakery. And you won't believe it. After the ninth time driving around the block, there it was, an open space right there, right in front of the bakery." We all know the struggle of temptation. I find that it can be sometimes quite exhausting. But perhaps there's consolation in this. Overcoming evil is an essential ingredient in the life of Jesus as well. He conquers personal temptation, and he also calls out temptation in others as well. He doesn't avoid it. He doesn't minimalize it. Isn't it in fact interesting that Jesus' ministry starts with temptation in the desert, and then here, the final temptation just before his death? This temptation perhaps tempted to take control and aggressively conquer the enemy, or tempted to blame people, the Jewish council, the disciples, even us, for the cup that was now before him. Maybe he was just tempted to take back his life as his own. He's tempted to go another, easier, better way rather than this road of suffering. It's almost as if through this moment, he's saying, in big moments in your life, perhaps any moments, but especially important ones, you're bound to face temptations. So let's read of his struggle and his disciples' struggle together. Luke 22, verse 39 to 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus' struggle and the journey he chose to stay on invites us to follow him in his footsteps and allow him to transform us to be more like him. And this is not an invitation reserved for the good days. It's for all of our life, even the darkest night of the human soul, where suffering, affliction, and temptation knock loudly and unwaveringly. To follow him even here, through his night of temptation, let's firstly consider our own lives. Perhaps we need to recognize the places that we go to. What is our default go-to when the pressure mounts and we feel ourselves being pulled towards a certain unhealthy habit or addiction or destructive thought pattern or sin? Maybe I numb. Sometimes we just want to numb and make it go away. It feels too intense. It sits too uncomfortably. It consumes too easily. So we don't want to feel the pain or the intensity of the struggle. We'd rather just escape, be a little comfortable, safe, secure. So the disciples were weary with sorrow, and maybe they were physically, desperately tired. But maybe this exhaustion stretched further. Perhaps through sleeping, they were numbing, just pulling away a bit. Unwilling to feel. We have so many tactics to numb. Mindless, endless scrolling or binge watching, alcohol, over socializing, overeating, over exercising, even. overworking. Here, even good things become numbing agents that take us out of the present and into a reality that isn't really real. And if we go here long enough, we find it is unhelpful and it isn't sustainable. Or I displace, I repress, or I deny. We don't want this in front of us, so we'll put something else on top of it. Maybe it makes us look bad or feel bad about ourselves, so we push it under far below where anyone can see. I wonder if this was Peter when he took up his sword to cut off the ear. He wouldn't face himself and his insecurities and fears, and he displaced it with aggression and irrational heroism that made him look like the person maybe he hoped he was. And it did look noble. But Jesus knew this wasn't the time, and that Peter was dealing with something he would only later come to terms with. Sometimes we simply pretend temptation and affliction isn't there. It's not happening. It's not difficult. I'm not struggling. Think about the responses around the table at the Last Supper when Jesus said someone would betray him. It can't be. Not me. Who? Self-defense and denial, rather than really hearing the news of Jesus' imminent death and considering what that did to them. And sometimes we go to a place where we simply become the victim. We simply say, I can't help it. This is who I am. I've been made this way. I have no agency over this, and I'm no good anyway. This is how it will always be. We may even say that this temptation or this struggle is because of something or someone else, and that is why this temptation consumes us. Abdicate power to shift blame. Pontius Pilate washing his hands. It's not my fault. You did this. There are so many places we go to not face our inner turmoil, to not face the struggle of our own ego, our false self, our weak flesh. We default here so easily because we think it's easier. But here we find disconnection, disintegration, pain, and a sense of hopelessness. Without guilt or without being cruel to yourself, where are some of the unhealthy places you go to when you feel tempted? The good news is that Jesus has found you here, and he's inviting you out of those hiding places to come and sit next to him in the shadow of Gethsemane. He invites us to return and to wake up. Returning is waking up to where you are with Jesus. It's becoming present. It's opening our eyes and becoming aware of what is actually in front of you, rather than lingering in the realities you've created and trying to escape. Jesus feels. He really feels. He allows the emotions that are welling up in him to build to the wave they need to become, to crash and to flow into his hearts and into his heart and thoughts, and even into his body. He is present to his situation and his experience thereof. He is present to the temptation to not go through this. Intellectually, he must have known, with the world to which he came, being who he is, that there was no other outcome. But I mean, Isaac was on the altar, about to be killed by his father, and God saved him. He didn't have to go through with it. Was there a way out for Jesus? Would it be so bad if he gave into his human desire to survive, to put himself first? I mean, for once. He voices his temptation. Please, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Earlier on, he gives Peter an opportunity to do the same. He says to him, you'll pretend that you don't know me, Peter, three times. But Peter doesn't voice his temptation. He doesn't voice his temptation to face his fear. He doesn't voice his insecurity. And he doesn't voice the rugged tugging towards self-preservation. He escapes to denial. And Jesus later invites him to wake up to what is going on within him. When Jesus tells his disciples to pray so that they will not be tempted, he is asking them to awake to their reality, awake to the world around them, and awake to the world in them. Ephesians 5, verse 14 to 16 says, "That is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Wake up so that you don't enter into temptation. The workaholic spouse may be called to wake up to how he or she is turning to their temptation to disengage rather than face their own insecurities and recognizing how they play out in his marriage. The successful manager may be called to wake up to the temptation of gaining more power by leading through invoking fear and having a lack of consideration for others as he or she climbs the ladder to success. The woman holding tightly to her every possession and her large portfolio of wealth may be called to wake up to the temptation of attachments, displacing what is really important. Wake up and see yourself in the garden and just be with Jesus. Recognize that you are tempted and recognize how you are tempted. Don't shy away in shame or guilt. I think as human beings, we are tempted often. But the call is to not enter into temptation, not to succumb to it. So see it for what it is and feel what you really feel with Jesus. Just voice what your heart is actually saying and let him help. This requires courage, vulnerability, truth. And then receive in prayer. One morning during Lent, I watched an episode of The Chosen with my kids, the one with Jesus and the children. My imagination was captured by how Jesus' life was depicted here. It started with a scene where Jesus was alone, but clearly afflicted. He just sat with his father, few words, but prayerfully. The lines on his face were taut and an anxiety measured his movements. His breaths were short and plenty. Later that night, as he lay down to sleep, he prayed, thanking God for the sleep brought to his eyes. Waking up the next morning, he thanked God again. Later, he brought everyday things comfortably and informally into conversation with God. Sitting with the children, he asked them, "Do you know the Shema? The prayer given to the Jews to remember and confess their faith, to listen to the whisperings of God." And he listened to the children recite this prayer. His face darkened for a moment as he remembered his affliction, the temptation to succumb to fear and self-preservation. The next day, he prayed the Our Father prayer, practicing and teaching, turning to God, who is his Father, who gives him everything he needs. Now, while this episode is an interpretation of the events of Luke 18, it depicts what we know of Jesus, as told in the Gospels. We know his prayers were regular, real, honest, and woven into daily rhythms. And in these prayers, he receives his daily bread. Daily bread in terms of physical needs, of consolation for his soul, of clarity for the present moment, of courage to face fear, and also in terms of strength to resist the temptation that is so part of being human. Jesus teaches us to pray too. He leads us in praying, "Thy will be done." Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us. Give us our daily bread. These are words with which to go into the garden with Jesus and face ourselves and be saved from ourselves. So would it then not make sense that Jesus wants this for his disciples as well, that he lovingly invites them to receive in prayer what they need to resist temptation? especially here in their exhaustion and sorrow. Exhaustion and sorrow can be descriptive of our lives too. Sometimes things build up and make you lose your footing. You may feel like you're free falling. This may be a time when you are especially vulnerable to temptation. So many different things may lead you here, and it's human. Fatigue, uncertainty, loss, rejection, stress, be it regarding finances, relationships, or health, conflict. All of this and many more factors can lead you to a state similar of being as the disciples here. But Jesus doesn't resent us for the turmoil we are in. He says, pray. Pray so that you will not be tempted. Pray by speaking. Pray by being in silence with God. Pray by presenting your emotions to God in large sobs or exuberant songs. Pray by reciting prayers or repeating scriptures. Pray by imagining. Pray by reflecting. Pray with simple conversation and pray with short graces. Pray as you can, however that is. And receive your daily bread as he knows you require. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There is a sort of awakening that happens as we become prayerful like Jesus. It doesn't necessarily take us out of situations or challenging seasons, but we can now be alert to God, our own lives, and also those of others. Jesus asked the disciples to stay awake. He believed they can. But he knows their nature and how easily they give in and how easily they are overwhelmed. Matthew 26 says, when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. He knows our nature too. They weren't supposed to do it alone. We're not supposed to do it alone. Pray in the Spirit. What an invitation. He who invites us to pray knows us and our limitation and our brokenness. And he isn't disgusted and disillusioned by us. He isn't overwhelmed by our chaos or tainted by our failures or our darkest moments. He loves us anyway, and he empowers and strengthens us to try again, to surrender, so that we can face temptation and not enter into it. This is a journey on which we are continuously being transformed to be more like Jesus. On this journey, we sometimes find we can stand stronger than we knew we could, all because of him. But sometimes we fall, and we fall hard. Jesus is there to pick up the pieces with us. So you, who are also tempted by your desire for pleasure, or your desire for approval, or recognition, or simply the need to be needed, he holds you in his loving gaze. You who are tempted too, by the deep yearning for security or your fear of not having enough, he sees your trembling hands and hearts and meets you there. You who are tempted by your ambition and need for success and control, he feels the struggle and fights with you and fights for you. Each of us tempted, but not left to our own devices, empowered, strengthened, awakened. So as you sit with your friend Jesus here this morning, will you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, we consider all the temptations in our lives. Sometimes it just feels too much to bear, and we can't imagine that we have enough strength to resist. Lord, will you show us all the thoughts and emotions that awaken in us as we bring you our struggle, as we sit with you, honest and vulnerable, and let you see the temptations, the things that we hide. Jesus, help us with these. Let us take your hand and receive what you know we need to resist temptation and live a freer life. Thank you, Lord, that you found us and that you don't leave us, but that you transform us to be more and more like you. We surrender to this journey. Holy Spirit, help us, show us, guide us. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The love of God our Father, the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen.